This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, Smart Money on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Hank Madden, Mike Ellis, and Corey Schrader.
The red light district, I think, is lit up.
We are firing.
Hey, folks, good morning. Welcome to Smart Money. All of you first-time listeners, a very, very special welcome to you guys and gals. Hope that you're going to stay with us for the full 2 hours. And before I go any further, I'm Hank Madden.
I'm Mike Ellis.
And Corey Stradamus.
Oh, you used it this time.
He's back.
I'm back.
He's back.
It's very timely. I'm
very
sure.
Timely.
This is a big studio to go running around in. So yeah. What can I tell you? Anyway, you got the full crew here today. Everybody is on station, on guard, and we're ready and locked and loaded. Our regular listeners, a very special welcome to you guys and gals. You are the foundation, the backbone upon which we build. Your numbers, they're ever increasing, and I'm always so humbled. I cannot tell you what it's like whenever I meet you out in public. It's just a wonderful experience for me. And listeners to say that we've been listening to you for decades. So God bless you all. Thank you for what you do. The show, what is it about? Two different things. We're going to take the events of today, national, international, or global, and bring them back to you and how they will impact you so you can be better prepared to make decisions and try to take the emotion and reaction events out of it. And then we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to open up the show to you. That's right. When I designed this umpteen decades ago, it was with you in mind. So get your financial questions ready. I will give you an alert. We are supposed to have a medical update from Neptune Beach. I'm kind of lost as to the degree of authority. But anyway, it'll be at the bottom of the hour. So know that that's coming. The topics for today, Michael, I'm going to let you guys run it because you're the ones that really picked it.
We certainly did pick it.
We did pick it.
So yeah, I've been around kids too much.
Well, we've seen the end of the 11-year bull market. It happened. So that's going to be the topic for today. What's next? For today's Did You Knows, we'll be looking at past bear markets for the S&P 500. Bear markets, just so everybody knows, if you don't already, are from market highs, the absolute tippy tops, to the lows when 20% or more has been lost. So, and Corey, for the market update today?
Yeah, so we'll talk about the bear market because technically we're not in one anymore.
You already came back out of it.
It came back on Friday after Trump's speech, so... Let's talk a little bit about this week, if anyone's been paying attention. Stocks suffered historic losses as worries deepened about the impact of the novel coronavirus or the Kung Flu. The declines pushed the major indexes into bear market territory as of Thursday, with Dow Jones dropping over 28% from its peak to a low Thursday, and the Dow was actually down about 27%. Yeah, you know, one of the key things there, which most people have not experienced, is what's called a circuit breaker. And a circuit breaker is absolutely there to help slow down the market when you see an S&P fall by more than 7%. And that's across all the indexes. It's not just the S&P. But when we saw on Thursday, the market opened down 7%, so a circuit breaker got put in. And it was just to, again, slow the emotional aspect of the selling. Overall, all S&P sectors fell sharply, especially energy, because of obviously what's going on with Russia as well. However, healthcare, technology, and communication services were held up the best. So before we kind of jump in today's topic, talk a little bit around year-to-date changes. Dow is down almost 19%. S&P is down 16%. NASDAQ's down 12%. If you got medium and small cap, medium's down 25%, and small cap companies are down 27%. And we're going to talk about this all day today.
All right.
Go ahead, Hank.
Go ahead, Hank.
Well, the bear finally crawled out of the cage. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. This market, don't look for it to be like 08. 08, we had an economy that was in terrible shape. We had banks in terrible shape due to the poor lending criteria that was implemented due to the Community Reinvestment Act. That came out of Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. But today, you've got an economy that is on solid footing. That's a contradiction to where a lot of the rest of the world is. So that gives us more buoyance than it does others. And without having to go any further, guys, the bear's out of the cage. How do we get it back in, and what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So Thursday, the markets were solidly in bear territory, although, like Corey alluded to, they're above it now. So we kind of talked about what a bear
is. I didn't
think
he was alluding to anything.
No, I was pretty clear. Yeah, and it's one of those things where, I'll be honest, I was a little surprised because most times, if you've been in the market like we have for many years, you see usually on the weekends people sell into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were expecting a little bit more of a downward push on Friday. So it's definitely optimistic to see that people are jumping back into the market. You know, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but a lot of it is misperception. You know, we do a lot of tax loss harvesting, a lot of rebalancing. Well, guess what?
That drives activity.
That drives activity. That drives buying. That drives selling. So, you know, it's one of the things we'll talk about to help people understand, because I think, at least from our perspective, the more you understand, the better peace of mind you have and the more comfort you'll feel. However, we want to make sure you understand what's going on. So,
absolutely. And when we look at a bear market, so, you know, I said earlier that a bear market is from the tip top to the bottom when you lose 20% or more. The average bear market for the S&P 500, lasts about 146 days. Dow, it's 206 days.
Right. So 3 months to 6 months, basically.
Yeah. And this one, you look at it, it took for the S&P, it was 16 days. For the Dow, it was 19.
And is that trading days or is that actual days?
Those are trading days.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's an incredible velocity. And I've attributed a little bit to the fact that there's no transaction costs anymore. You know, the fact that you go back to the 80s and the 90s, it cost you $50-$100 to sell a stock.
Oh, 2%.
Yeah. Now you press a button and you're in and out. You know, and it's like, get me out now. I'll worry about the consequences later. And we all know. And what we tell our clients constantly is why that's a negative thing. So.
Oh, absolutely. And then you also have something you didn't have before either, and that's a greater level of computerized trading. I mean, we saw the impacts of that in 87.
Yeah.
I mean, that was computerized trading. The computers were going faster than the market could keep up with.
Sure.
The difference is today's world, the markets can keep up with it.
Not only that, have you seen a good headline yet?
No. No.
I mean, come on now. Like, at the end of the day, and I'm not downplaying this by any means. I mean, it's a real thought. I mean, you could get it. But when you talk about nothing but deaths and you just show the mortality rate, like, what about the survival rate? 95-96%. Like, why isn't that everywhere?
Well, and they're not reporting the recovery numbers either, but let's not chase too far down that track right now.
I get sidetracked. Squirrel.
So, three of the five fastest declines on the Dow were in the 1930s.
Oh, wow. So a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. So this one's faster than all of them, but the conditions are tremendously different. Yeah. You know, in the 1930s, we were looking at, you know, Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're looking at, like Hank said, solid footing. There's nothing broken. There's nothing wrong under the surface. It's, hey, there's this impactor when it's gone. Hey,
yeah.
Where are we?
Yeah, I think energy might play into that, though, because of what's going on with Russia. And it is a quarter of our economy, so we may see some downside from that the longer that plays out. But
that's an interesting point, because it's an entirely second dynamic that really threw more upheaval into the global economies with the behavior of Russia to the Saudis.
Yeah,
I'm still not quite clear. I think there's some other underlying motives on Russia's part as to why they have reacted the way they have. Their economy cannot sustain this.
I think it's just opportunistic. I mean, at the end of the day, if I was playing the game of Risk and I saw my competitor maybe struggling a little bit, hey, let's throw the tax down and see what I can do.
Yeah. Tighten the screws, see what happens.
I mean, it's great for input costs, though.
Oh, absolutely. So. And, you know, when we look at input costs, that's what feeds the rest of the economy, folks.
Nom, nom, nom.
So with the S&P this past week, from the tippy top to the very bottom on Thursday before we had, you know, the Friday kind of rebound, the S&P was down 26.45%. That's tippy top to very bottom.
Yeah.
So
you've been around the kids too much, Mike.
One of the things that we really need to put out there and make sure folks are aware of is this is the kind of stuff that you need to have a formal written plan for. And we've talked about it many times before. If you don't, you're going to fall victim to those emotions and the uncertainty of your own wildest expectations. In college, I took a psychology class, and they had something called the spiral theory. And that is basically where you start, you just keep going in a death spiral downwards in your mind until you hit rock bottom. Once you find it, that's when you can start rebuilding. We see the markets do that every time.
Yeah, well, I think, and again, from the psychology aspect of all this, you end up doing what you find, right? Like, one of the things, and there's a great article on MarketWatch we found this morning, and it talks about just some of the challenges and the ways that you can actually distract yourself. I mean, ultimately, hey, stop freaking out. It doesn't help, but here's 10 things you can do to really help yourself. And that actually talks about it is listen, stop listening to these headlines, because then you start getting down that rabbit hole, and it just makes it worse and worse. And again, we're on solid footing, but we have to have a plan.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, are we at a point where we can take a short time out so we can finish strong?
Oh, absolutely.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we probably should, because otherwise we'll butt against that 10:30 thing.
Yeah, true.
Folks, right. You're listening to Smart Money on 104.5 WOKV. That's Jacksonville's news and talk. Smart Money time is now 10:18. We're going to take that short information time out. We'll be right back with you for that editorial. Did you know what was the worst recorded bear market in the S&P 500's history?
Guessing around 1929.
Uh-huh.
Oh, go figure.
I'll confirm your answer when we're back from the break. Jacksonville, welcome back. You're listening to Smart Money 104.5. That's WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk. Smart Money time is now 10:22. Did you know the world's worst recorded bear market, or the worst recorded bear market, rather, on the S&P 500's history was during the Great Depression. The S&P 500 lost 86% of its value, and the bear market lasted 34 months before starting to recover its losses.
So that was 1929.
Yep.
Yes.
And it...
Corey Stradamus.
The year after it hit the bottom, it returned 124%.
Yeah.
So right before the break, we were talking about the bear market territory that we've entered into, a little bit about what those are and some of the things that kind of got us here. We talked briefly or started to talk about, hey, we need to have a plan. So if you don't have a plan, you're going to get caught up in the winds and you're going to follow along wherever the market wants to take you. With that, Corey, we absolutely know the end of the story.
I mean, what is it?
We've seen it how many
Bedlam,
times?
Bedlam, panic in the streets.
We've seen it how many times, though?
A couple times.
I mean, with market downturns, with bear markets, even the worst ones out there. We just mentioned the 1929.
Yeah, well, and again, it always seems, when you're in the fire, it always seems the hottest, right? I mean, at the end of the day, again, with the news headlines, everything, it's tough. It's tough to go through this, but like I say this constantly, without a plan, you plan to fail, right? Yeah, we're cruise boat captains. At the end of the day, you're going to jump off and swim back to the coast? No, you're not. You're going to jump in 12 to 14 foot seas right now? Like, no, you need help. So go get some help. So, yeah, either way.
Absolutely.
That's kind of our thoughts.
And when we look at, you know, well-diversified portfolios, really right now, what did you tell Hank on Friday? I think you said they're about 30 to 40% of their standard deviation?
Yeah, so I mean, overall, and again, standard deviation is a measure of risk and how far away you are from your averages. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, across our accounts, we're seeing about 20 to 25% standard deviation, which basically means that you're taking on a decent amount of risk right now. And we use that from a 2 standard deviation, or it basically takes into account 95% of the possible outcomes. So right now, it feels about, you know, the double the normal market cycle from a risk perspective. And the more or less you have in stocks really dictates that. But on average, people are seeing about 15, 20, 25% based on how they're invested. Now, if you're invested full on with stocks, you're probably sitting
you're
about 40, 45%. So, you know, that's where you can actually take control. And one of the biggest things that I've always found is if you feel like you're out in the ocean, take control. Come up with something and make it tangible and do it, right? That's kind of what we're looking at.
So what you're saying is that the managed portfolios with that are quantified by yield and risk were down about 15 to 20% of the standard deviation out of market.
Correct.
As opposed to the market being down substantially more. I think the market actually has lost about 30% more than the managed portfolios. Well, that's real money, folks. I hate to tell you. Yeah. That's 30% more that those portfolios don't have to recapture.
Yeah. And then it's all about rebalancing and tax loss harvesting. And, you know, at the end of the day, I always explain this, and I know we got to take a break, but it's one of those things.
Not yet. We still got some time.
Okay, cool. You got a 50-50 portfolio, right? Stocks are down 10%. Well, now you're overweight in bonds because everyone freaked out and jumped into bonds. Well, when the market comes back, how are you positioned? Well, you're bond heavy. That's not your growth area. You got to rebalance. You got to level things out.
If you want the velocity to be the same on the upside as it was on the downside, then you got to.
That's so important. That is so important. What you just said.
Me or Mike? I'm keeping tallies.
It's turning it into real terms. If you went down real fast. And you don't do anything. If you went down real fast and you don't do anything, then you are not properly positioned to take advantage of the recovery.
Which is, again, the issue with, okay, I've just jumped out of the boat, right?
Yep.
Well, I'm not cruising at the exact same speed as the boat. I am now swimming on my own capacity. How much longer is it going to take you to get to shore relative to that boat? Holy cow. Think about that. I mean, come
That's
on.
Actually a
It's interesting.
That's a great one. So just to reinforce, folks, that means you need that financial blueprint. We've talked about it. I don't even know how many times. Hank, do you have a count?
The last count that I had was 6,792.
I think you just pulled that out of nowhere.
So
you got to know, like Hank was talking about, you got to know your standard deviation. You got to know your expected return. You got to know those figures that drive what's happening in your accounts, your portfolios. Yeah. If you don't know it, then that's when you feel like you're powerless.
So here's a question for you, Mike. If I'm conservative, what's my standard deviation?
Yes.
If I'm aggressive, what's my standard deviation?
No.
Okay. So why do so many people say, are you conservative, aggressive, or moderate?
Well, they're trained to do that by the broker, the insurance agent. It gives away an emotion. They're trained to sell to the emotion. Now they know how to sell you a product. Wake up. Get away from it, guys and gals.
Yeah.
Seeing the actual results, positive results, yeah, you're going to take a hit, but it ain't going to be what the market did.
Yeah, and if you're retired, I mean, it's one of those things where if you know from a quantifiable perspective what your range is going to be, are you going to feel better about that versus – oh, you're going to go down or you're going to go up. Oh, that sounds great. As long as I feel comfortable. So that's, we kind of tongue in cheek a lot of this, but at the end of the day, that's the thought process is do you feel better with a plan, with an actual number, or do you just want to start swimming?
So the main point is we know how both of those stories end, being adrift or having a plan. Which one will you follow? It's that time already, folks. Ooh. Smart Money time is 10:29.
Lion.
So we got that message that'll be coming to you guys and gals. So that's the signal we have to take that information time out. When we come back, lines are open. That's right. That's 855-765-1045. So get your financial questions ready. That number is 855-765-1045. So call and call now. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. And did you know, when did the longest bear market for the S&P start?
Jeez.
The longest.
The longest. That's what I was trying to figure. So, yeah.
No, I don't think this one will be that long,
31.
But we'll talk about it after the break.
All right.
Jacksonville, welcome back to 104.5 WOKV. That's Jacksonville's News and Talk. This is Smart Money. And guess what, folks? Lines are open. That's right. Lines are open. So call and call now. That number is 855-765-1045. Again, that's 855-765-1045. And Hank told me I have to pay homage to the beautiful Mystic Minx.
Oh, boy.
So.
You got that right.
Hey, folks, if you don't want to give us a call, you'd prefer to stay off the air or have something you don't necessarily want to discuss that's a question, feel free to also email us at smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. Again, that is smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. Yep. Or you can visit our website, which is maddenadvisory.com.
Maddenadvisory.com, yeah.
So did you know the longest bear market for the S&P 500 started in March of 1937 amid a recession?
Missed it.
At its depth, stock values dropped 60% before rapidly recovering on the backside of that downside.
Could you imagine that? Let's say you have 100 grand and you just saw $60,000. Over how long?
It's 37. Well, no, the year was 37. Where
right.
did it go?
Did it? Either way. Anyway, it was probably quaking back, but anyway.
That one was the longest. It was 61 months.
Ooh, 5 years. But it probably would have been a dramatic downside versus what we're seeing. So.
Well, honestly, that's what kind of threw us into World War II.
Yep.
Roosevelt needed World War II. We actually had the warning on Pearl Harbor still 24 hours in advance, but the Army and the Navy got into a tinkling contest on who had the priority to release the message.
Navy.
Army.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got some calls coming in. Yep. Great. Yep.
So I got to tell you something, folks. I apologize for this break that we had, this breaking news. Could have been summarized in easily 2 minutes, a bunch of folks repeating themselves, saying the same thing over and over again, and taking away from you and your airtime and our show. So I think it was totally unnecessary. Right, and I don't care if I offended someone. You right. better listen.
Let's see who we got on the phone here.
All right, we got Dean on Southside. Dean, how are you doing today?
Good. I just wanted to get a little input about this coronavirus hype. I think it's a result of the dumbing down to our government education system, and the people just are not smart enough. I mean, you know, plus with the CYA, with the legal profession, you know, they're every chance they get to, you know, sue somebody for some, you know, wrong, it's done. And then, you know, the hype of the coronavirus and death. I mean, it seems like in 1973 we approved Roe versus Wade. How many people do we kill as unborn babies, though? We're worried about a few deaths from coronavirus. I just think I have no respect for the government. And you talk about the market and bull and bear and standard deviation. I mean, most you see these Jesse Water interviews on Spock. I mean, people can't tell you the three branches of government, much less how the market works and, you know, the market's going to come back and stuff like that. I just think the government education system is dumbed down to people in this country. And that's how they get in the hype, though. You know, it's just, why toilet paper? I mean, I don't see diarrhea as one of the symptoms of the coronavirus.
To some degree, there's definitely some over concern. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, people are just, you know, just trying to calm themselves and try to do what they need
well,
to do.
It's hype, like I say, when you let the government, you know, you give up your freedoms. I mean, like I say, I listen to your show on a fairly regular basis during the non-football season. And like I say, I really appreciate Hank's insight, though. And I think, I think this country's got a lot of issues. So, like I say, you know, the Democrats, the best they can put up is Joe Biden. You can stumble around and then the socialist. I mean, kind of shows you where we're at in 2020, though, as far as where we're going, the direction of this country.
All right, Dean.
America.
Hey,
thank
we
you.
Appreciate you calling in, and
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Obviously, we appreciate your thoughts. So,
yeah, for sure. I definitely appreciate the thoughts there, as far as, you know, coronavirus impacts and everything. You know, definitely thank you for the call.
And God bless, man.
Hey.
All right. So what else are we contending with this week?
Well, I want to make a comment too off of what Dean said.
Sure.
I don't want us to downplay the significance of this disease. It is a disease that really is just proliferating itself. However, what he did make that is very important is that the death rate is about 3% mm-hmm. of those that are affected. And then that doesn't even address recovery rate. It's just that 97% of the people either recover or don't get affected.
Yeah.
But the media has got to sell fear and hype.
If it bleeds, it leads.
And unfortunately, we become the victims of their behavior, which further exasperates the situation and really it further erodes the credibility of government and press that we used to rely upon so heavily. Yes, it is an issue. Yes, we are taking measures to prevent it. Yes, it does cause shutdowns right now. But it's not the end of the world, and God bless, if it were the end of the world, I'd be want to stand right at the front of the line saying, Lord Christ, let me in.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point. We've taken so many of the principles of our Lord and Savior out of everything that, you know, these folks in the media, absolutely, they're being paid by the eyeball per minute. That's something I've echoed several times here during the start and continuation of this thing. They get paid per click, per eyeball, per minute, and they don't care about the consequences.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. So who's calling in?
We got Drew from Orange Park. Question on buying stocks. Drew, what's going on? How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine. And you?
Hey, it's a beautiful Saturday so far. Thanks for asking.
She's over there in the wonderful land of Orange Park. It's wonderful. I love it over there.
I just wanted to let you know that in the past 2 weeks, I have made 4 stock buys, and I'm tickled to death with it.
You're buying right now?
I'm buying, yeah.
Well, that's perfect.
That's awesome.
Hey, Drew, have you been on the show before? You sound familiar to me.
No, I've been in your office.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All righty-dighty.
Yeah.
That's why.
I have my own little account, and I put money away, and I looked at this and some stocks I watch pretty steadily, and I thought, you know what? I may buy some more next week. I don't know. It's just, this is a time that if you got any money stuck back, and sorry, I had throat surgery, so I'm still working my vocal cords back here.
Mm.
And I refuse to hibernate, too. I'm out and about. I take a little bit of zinc, vitamin C, keep my Advil handy. I'm fine.
Great.
I think if you got any money stuck back now and you see something, then you think it's, that's my recommendation.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's good.
You bring out the perfect point. In scenarios like this, and everybody's heard me say it many times before, this is the only industry when things go on sale, people run away with their hands up in the air screaming.
Yeah. Well, I think it's silly, and I think, of course, I've always been in it long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't panic. And I think in another month or two, we are going to be roaring like you just don't believe.
Yeah. No, I actually echo that. I mean, I think we're going to see a little bit of a lag, obviously, with the cases, and then they're going to say, well, how's that going to impact business? But the market is forward-looking.
Well, I tell you, and President Trump was on this from day one,
yep,
which I think burst the Democrats' little dream of more hype and hysteria.
Yeah.
And this is going to go, this too shall pass. And then we're going to pick up, and nobody looks at the number of the regular flu deaths that we have come to accept,
mm-hmm,
and how many flu deaths there have. Google that, 2020 flu deaths, and see what you come up with. Nobody's talking about that.
Nope.
And there are a lot of them. Okay, don't want to take up any more of your time, but I just say, hey, think positive.
Hey, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, Drew, and God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know, what Drew just brought out is a very important point. How many of you are sitting there wringing your hands, oh, my God, what am I going to lose next, versus how many of you are sitting there saying, okay, I'm marshaling my resources, and I'm looking at what I need to be buying if I'm not buying now. Would you buy maybe a little bit high right now compared to where they'd be in a week? Possibly, but you're still buying at substantial lows. So how many of you are reacting to what's already happened in the past and trying to figure out how much more you're going to lose versus where am I going to go in the future and how can I better organize? You need to be meeting with qualified financial planners. I define that as a certified financial planner who is independent, who is fee only, and who is a fiduciary who can represent you. They don't have products to sell. What they have is their professional knowledge and time, and their compensation is based upon your success. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you need to get oriented, folks. We're seeing an incredible opportunity. Don't let it pass you by.
Yeah.
Do you know how many of these there have been?
What?
There have been 29 major declines over the S&P 500's history.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll do a little shameless plug. I mean, we got three fiduciaries, CFPs, that are on the air here right now, you know. And, you know, let's just say, hey, 904-296-1127, give us a call. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we do have daytime jobs, and we absolutely care about you. And we absolutely want to make sure that you have wisdom. I mean, you know, not just from us, but from people that are like you. I mean, you know, we have many clients that call in and say, hey, I feel content because I've gone through this and I understand what I'm dealing with. So, like I said, shameless plug, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's what we do for a living, is to help people navigate this kind of stuff.
Speaking of shameless plugs, are we going to have to suck up and take one? The cost of that wasted airtime.
I think we got to take a break.
I
don't
know. I intentionally blew right through
receive.
I intentionally blew right through the 10:45 break.
Yeah, we just
my little rebellion.
Well, the 10:45 break died because of the press conference.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Press conference. You got to be kidding me.
Nope. Well, okay, guys and gals, we're going to take an information timeout. We are at the top of the hour. Smart Money time is 10:57. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV. That's Jacksonville's news and talk. Did you know? So we're going to look here at the S&P 500 again. What year did the last bear market for the S&P 500 start?
I wasn't focused.
What year did the last
bear market start? I'm going to say 87.
Oh. Are you sure?
No.
We'll talk about it after the break.
This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, Smart Money on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Hank Madden, Mike Ellis, and Corey Schrader.
Yo, Jacksonville, welcome back to the second hour of Smart Money. You are with Hank Madden, Corey Schrader, and Mike Ellis. Once again, like the intro said, it is Smart Money time, 11:07. Lines are open, so call with your financial questions and call now. That number is 855-765-1045. Again, that's 855-765-1045. Or if you want to send us an email, you can send that to smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. So did you know the last bear market for the S&P 500 started in 2007?
Oh.
Yep. Forgot about that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
At its trough, the index declined, meaning the S&P 500, 59%. And an honorable mention, the S&P in 2018, in the fourth quarter, was almost a bear market, 19.89.
Yeah, which is where we sit right now, basically. Within it, and again, that how long did those take? And this took, what, 17 days?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Ridiculously short. So, real quickly, just something we wanted to address before we hop on to Nick at Jack's Beach. So, we have an interesting time right now with the bear market in play. And, you know, something we need to readdress again is, you know, portfolios and where they are today.
Yep.
With that rapid decline, your portfolio mix does not look like it did before. Promise.
It's definitely changed.
So what do you do to sift through and prepare for the inevitable comeback?
Well, nothing. I just put the statement in the drawer and come back in a couple of months.
That's a terrible answer.
I mean, it can help with the peace of mind, but, I mean, you're not actively doing anything.
You still, just because every expert that knows the end of this story will tell you you need to stay in the market, that doesn't mean you need to put your hands up and not touch anything.
Right. Because, I mean, your whole mix changes. So that's why it's important that you do look at it now and you start saying, okay, well, now I'm 10% heavy in bonds. Now I need to shift that back to stocks. So I'm back to where I started. Yep. So.
And you need to be smart with that exposure, too. You don't want to go buying energy right now. Thomas.
Well, so, and maybe I could touch on, and I know we got to get here with Nick, yep. But there's a difference between trading and investing, people. Please listen to us on this. Okay? You're going to hear hot topics. You're going to follow Motley Fool. You're going to follow Seeking Alpha. All these places are going to say, hey, these are the best sectors to jump into because they've been downtrodden so bad. Look at financials. Financials, every manager out there, and I shouldn't say every because I'm not part of them. I don't believe that financials are the right place to be right now. I don't care how undervalued they are. When you have a net interest spread that has basically shrunk over the last 5 years, that's a big problem.
And that's how banks make their money for people to know.
So,
they haven't got the spread to operate in.
No, exactly. And it's only gotten worse. And a 10-year at less than one is going to be problematic. And that's why a lot of people in retirement are saying, I want to buy a one-year CD that pays 3%. Well, those days are gone. So, you know, financials at this point, they're undervalued, but you can be right longer than you're solvent, which means you're going to hold that until you're broke. So for us, it's, you know, trading. Yeah, absolutely. There's probably short-term things. Look at the hospitality industry. Look at the airlines. Look at the cruises. They're so downtrodden. If you want to try to be cheeky and try to jump on something quickly, that's a trading mentality. Or even if you think that Carnival will be huge over the next 5 years as a result of this, that's investing. You know, you hang on to it. So just my little soapbox.
And,
I'm sorry.
And with that, we'll go ahead.
Nick, I'm a little passionate about it.
Nick, Jax Beach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. How you doing?
Hey, pretty well.
Doing all right. I heard the beach is packed.
Well, we're finding out. So we're parking right now. We're trying to park, I should say.
Oh, great.
All right.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Question. Yeah, my wife and I, we're lucky enough to have a good problem. Our good problems are our house is paid off. We contribute the maximum amount to 401ks. Fortunately, as of right now, we make too much money to contribute to a Roth IRA.
Okay.
So, you know, I've also been looking a little bit at the possibility of a backdoor IRA.
Mm-hmm.
But longer term, the issue that we face is as a 31 and soon to be 41-year-old, there's not a lot of advisors who readily want to work with people our age.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the radio stations, they always talk about folks who are in pre-retirement or in retirement. And in our situation, we have, you know, anywhere between $5,000 and $6,000 a month that we can invest in for our retirement. We do have a rental property, and we've thought about getting another rental property, but not at these prices.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we just kind of have money sitting around in a high interest savings account, which is an oxymoron.
I was going to say, you can get that 75 basis points, 0.75.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the big question that my wife and I have is who would you recommend, if it's not you guys, who would you recommend that we could work with for our financial future?
So I'll jump on this. So I know Hank loves working with millennials. So for me,
I'm not a millennial. I'm Generation X.
A millennial A's. Hank is listening.
So Nick, you and I are in the same wonderful generation. All right. So
I got no problems with yours.
Gen X is still the best one, baby.
I guess it's me. I guess it's I'm definitely the single Mike. Out one. What's going on over here?
So my thought on this is I love working with younger investors because it's all about the ripple effect. You know, at the end of the day, people who are tuned in, engaged, like the impact that you can create now because you're started so early is huge.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, yeah. And if I can help you realize dreams and things earlier, that's why we're here. I mean, You know, at the end of, at the end of the day, it's just trying to help you navigate what you're trying to do with rentals and extra funds and 401ks. And yeah, I mean, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer. Mike, what do you think?
Absolutely. Definitely give us a call. You know, we have that first initial 1 hour consultation that's free of charge. That's our suitability. It's a chance to sit down, talk a little bit about what you're looking for, what we provide, and if it's feasible. If it's feasible for us to work together, we press forward. At the very least, you'll leave with a good azimuth, a good direction that you need to head on.
Just go ahead and call up your office and get a time scheduled.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's 904-296-1127.
Yep.
Or you can go to the website, maddenadvisory.com. I almost pulled a U. I almost said smartmoney.com.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Nick, I get where you're coming from. I mean, you know, it's you have this huge discrepancy between, you know, people who are in retirement, but we forget that financial, and this is my own little plug, financial literacy is just not out there for so many people. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like the sooner I can get a hold of someone and just teach them some things, and you're probably already well-versed on a lot of this stuff, but if we can find blind spots or things that maybe you're not thinking about, well, we're incrementally making the situation better. So I would love for the opportunity to sit down with you. I know Mike and Hank are the same way, but we just want to make sure you're taken care of. So do we got to take a break already?
We do. It's 11:16.
I talk too much.
Well, guys, I'll let you be. I appreciate it. I'll give you guys a call this upcoming week, okay?
Awesome, right, Nick. Hey, enjoy the beach.
God bless. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so that's right. It is that time for a short information timeout here, folks. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV. That's Jacksonville's News and Talk. Lines are open, so give us a call with your financial questions. That number is 855-765-1045. Hey, Hank, this one's for you, as the Mystic Minx would say.
Oh, Lord.
So, what did you know?
The song or the did you know?
Both. In what year was the second shortest bear market?
2013.
No, it was right after Custer.
Oh,
Custard.
That's
General Custard.
Yeah,
that's an interesting comment. I'll tell you how.
Well, he got his butt clean with the market.
TP.
I'll tell you how almost right you are.
What the hell do you expect?
That's a good beat. To 104.5 WOKV. That's Jacksonville's News and Talk. This is Smart Money. Smart Money time is now 11:21. Lines are open, folks, so bring your financial questions, and remember, your questions help many others too. So call and call now at 855-765-1045. Again, that is 855-765-1045. Call and call now. Did you know? The shortest S&P bear market occurred in 1987. The 87 crash, as it's been deemed, took 4 months. At its worst, the S&P was down 34% during the 87 crash before rapidly recovering.
Listen, I remember that. Mm-hmm. We ended up putting on a special closed-circuit television broadcast to cover the market. People went crazy. What's interesting is that the PC had really not made its full debut at that point in time. The means of communication and also the means of practicing modern portfolio theory as we do today really were not there in full force. Mm-hmm. That was still a mainframe application.
Yeah, and so floppy disks.
You had people more reactive, and it was an incredible period of just hyper reaction, not based upon anything that had anything to do with anything.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Looks like we got some calls piling up here. So
we
that's
do.
Great news.
We have a lot of calls piling up. We're going to go ahead and take Cameron from Neptune Beach. Cameron, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good.
Great.
Hey,
thanks for calling in. What's your question?
So I have a trust with Wells Fargo up in Philadelphia, and right now, or what I've been doing is it's kind of structured as a unit trust. So I get a 4% monthly disbursement, which I count on, I live on. And again, with what's happening, I'm just wondering, you know, what to expect. Again, it is managed through Wells Fargo, and it is a fiduciary team that manages it, along with investment officers and such. And I guess as of January, it was valued up around $3.3 million, and which for me that was about a $10,000-$11,000 a month income. And I'm just wondering where I'm at now, just to kind of give you an outline of the way it's allotted. It looks like I have just under 6% in cash alternatives, 25% in fixed income, 55% in equities, a little over 3% in alternative investments, mm-hmm. and just under 10% in real assets.
Okay.
Folks, what he's talking about is a charitable remainder unit trust. This is the power, and I compliment you for this. This is power that you have that most folks aren't going to tell you about. He's created a super IRA is what he has done. He gets to deduct it from his taxes. He gets to remove it from his estate. And depending upon how he followed through, he can pass it on or the equivalency of it tax-free to heirs, depending upon the planning involved.
Yeah, it's scheduled. Unfortunately, people in my family don't live a real long time, and we've gone through in about 5 years, two generations, and it's scheduled to dissolve upon my death. So my son would get a lump sum check. I've tried to consult the bank about continuing it, but they. I guess from a fiduciary aspect, being that it would have to be modified, we're not willing to do that. So,
what's he getting a lump sum check from? Is it a last to die insurance policy? It's not going to be from the CRT.
The trust will dissolve upon my death, and he'll just get, all investments, I guess, will be sold, and he'll just get a check.
Yeah, it's just a liquidation of the trust. It's not a remainder trust. It's not any. It's just
It's a remainder trust, but it doesn't sound like it's charitable trust.
No, it just goes straight to the last heir.
Okay.
Yep. So I guess the biggest question is I guess what's your question around it, Cameron?
Well, my question is what can I expect during my lifetime with what's going on with the market right now, as far as my future is. Am I gonna lose what I have? Is it gonna come back? I can't touch it during my lifetime. So, it's up to the bank. I'm kind of in their hands, but I'm just wondering how the road ahead's gonna look.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to how it's actually allocated.
Yep, that asset allocation drives everything. Yeah. When we talk about, hey, what's your financial blueprint? What your question basically tells us that you don't know what the financial blueprint of that is. Somebody else does, probably, but they don't have you informed.
Right.
Because otherwise you would know what to expect from that portfolio.
And it sounds like they're the corporate trustee, it sounds like, and mm-hmm. you're just the beneficiary of the trust, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you, I mean, do you have any say whatsoever? Are you a trustee as well? Or is there anyone else that's a trustee? Or is it just sole corporate trustee and you have literally no say in anything?
My say is limited. There is a surviving sister, that has a little bit more, everything goes through her. If I want to mm-hmm. do anything, they consult her and she either gives them a yes or a no. But, I don't have any problems with the way it's managed mm-hmm. or my monthly income. I'm just wondering how the market's going to affect this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you what will start concerning you is again, how they actually have it broken down. I mean, at the end of the day, they may have it in the best place. They may have it in
That sister you mentioned, though, if she's the trustee, she's the one that knows the blueprint.
Yep.
That's why you don't, because you're not a trustee on it.
Well,
you certainly should request a copy.
Pie chart here of how it's invested.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that what it comes back to is what we've been telling everyone, and this is, you know, we do believe the market is going to come back. What's most important is how it is positioned to come back.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. Like I said, a lot of managers out there that we've been vetting are heavy financial. They're heavy in these areas that they feel are so undervalued, energy being one of them. I mean, like just those sectors have changed. So that's why we tell people, don't just put the statements away. You know, bring them in. Let's look at them together. Let's see where the threat is on your portfolio, and then let's see if we need to change or pivot. But unless you actually look at it, it's hard to actually say.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I guess I heard earlier, I guess Madden Financial is a group that works with younger people.
Yeah, so that's us.
We're
Madden Advisory. So.
Madden Advisory Services, young or old. Go to maddenadvisory.com or give our office a call at 904-296-1127. We're more than happy to set up a one-hour consultation for you. That'll be free of charge. And like I said, we'll talk about your goals, expectations, et cetera. And if we can work together, we will. Yep. If not, you'll leave with at least the right direction.
Yep. And we for those that are out there that are on hold, you know, please stick with us. We appreciate it. And we just got to take a quick break. But Cameron,
music,
thanks.
That
very
music
much.
Tells us that we got to go real quick. So Cameron, thank you for God bless for the call. You are listening to 104.5. That's WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk, folks. Smart Money time is now 11:30. We'll be back after this break. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns. Lines are open, importantly. So on the backside, make sure you're giving us a call at 855-765-1045. Again, that is 855-765-1045, or email us at smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. Did you know? How many months does the average bear market take to recover or to last?
Two.
We'll talk about it after the break. Jacksonville. Welcome back to 104.5 WOKV. That's Jacksonville's news and talk. You're listening to Smart Money. And folks, the lines are open. That magical number is 855-765-1045. Again, that's 855-765-1045. Smart Money time is now 11:37. Did you know? The average bear market on the S&P 500 lasts 22 months. Now, that number is skewed by the 1937 recession and bear market. Excluding the longest and shortest bear markets, the average is actually 19 months.
Okay. Yeah, not too bad. About a year. So yeah, nice. All right, so we got a bunch of callers here. So who are we taking first?
Absolutely. So first one we got coming on is Carl from Wichita Falls, Texas.
Calling from Texas. Hey, Carl, how we doing? Mark.
Hey, doing real good.
Beautiful. What's your question?
I to your show.
Your comments.
I can kill this coronavirus. What's it called? Corona.
Yep.
And all these little cousins. What you do is you take some O3 oxygen generators and create ozone gas, disperse that into the waterworks, and you can open up every fire plug in city town squares and wash the crap right down into the
Okay. All right.
This is the most economical and cheapest way to go about killing anything that's microorganisms.
Yep.
You can vaporize it. You can pump it inside indoor buildings. Everything it touches on contact, it'll kill. And it's nature's way.
All right.
Ozone's a natural gas. When it finally works its way up in the upper atmosphere, it has that nice little shiny ozone layer. That protects us from the UVs.
Okay. Well, nice. Well, I appreciate that. Well,
that's an interesting comment.
Was there any questions, or was that just the thought?
That's the remedy.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for calling in.
God
we
bless,
appreciate
Carl.
It. God bless.
Thank you for calling. All right. Next, we have Mark from Jack's Beach. Mark, you're looking at annuities
today.
And brokerage accounts?
Yes, sir. I have two annuities. One's traditional, one's a Roth.
Okay.
And I want to get out of those, and I'm thinking of putting them into either a Vanguard account or a Fidelity, something like that.
Okay. Okay. Any reason why you're thinking about moving out of them, or?
I just want to be able to have more control over them, and there's a lot of fees with the annuities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're right about that.
You got that right.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Said you got that right on the fees part. The annuities are tied down with a lot of different fees. Well, Mark, if you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
Yeah, I'll be 65 next month.
Okay.
Oh, happy birthday.
And do you know about when you purchased those annuities?
Yeah, the traditional is, it has no surrender value. It's about 15 years old. The Roth has, it's about, I guess it got about 4 more years on it, so it's about a $350 surrender charge on that.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. And then, you know, outside of those annuities, do you have other investments, savings? What else are you putting together and working with?
I just have, you know, regular savings account, but that's my main retirement. That, and I have a rental property that I own.
Okay. So that,
and, how much money is are in the annuities, and how much of that is gain?
How much of it is what?
Gain.
Well, the traditional has about $285,000, and the Roth has about $13,000 in it.
Okay. Of that $285,000, how much of that was your original principal?
I think about $70,000.
Okay.
Okay.
And was it always in an annuity, or did the annuity come about because of
Actually, of I had originally I had a, you know, regular brokerage account. Okay. And I mean, it was short-sighted on my part because I didn't read the fine print, but I got shanghaied into the annuities. Mm. I was moving them out of a brokerage account, and I specifically told the guy that I was dealing with that I did not want to go back into an annuity. And then he put it into an annuity.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, like I said, I should have read the fine print. I just trusted him when I, because I told him I didn't want an annuity. That, you know, that's what it, he was doing what I requested. But.
Gotcha.
Okay, you've got a big issue. When you say traditional, that is not an IRA that you're talking about.
That's what I was wondering. When you were talking about the gains, I'm like, well, it's in an IRA, but if it's an actual brokerage account, then you probably want to sit down and talk with us around what potential tax implications you have here.
Because you're looking at about $210,000 in ordinary income, if that is just a non-qualified means they're not tax favored dollars that went into it. Okay,
yeah, it's a non-qualified.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Well, your biggest issue there is how much are you willing to give up in taxes? Now there is another alternative. That could save you a tremendous amount of money, and it actually comes from Nationwide. It's Jefferson National. Jefferson National is a no-load variable annuity. Its annual cost, you ready? $250 a year. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge.
And you've got something, I want to say, on the cusp of close to 400 different investment alternatives.
Yep.
Now, you can work with professional advisors and using that annuity, and you can do a 1031 non-taxable exchange from your existing annuity to that annuity, not triggering a tax event, and saving somewhere off the top of my head probably about $60,000 in taxes.
A
substantial alternative amount of investments, you will be able to develop an investment portfolio based around targeted yield and standard deviation, and that will allow you to create a sufficient number of asset classes that you then could go into something like Jefferson National and look at it and say, okay, I can create it out of here and work with a professional money manager who's not selling you any products, has no commissions to break, to make whatsoever, and compensation comes from your success.
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea that just transferring it out of there into, like, Vanguard or Fidelity, that it would be that big of a tax implication.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So
I would encourage you to give our office a call, because that $60,000 is a lot to give up if you don't have to.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I do have a scheduled appointment for next week with your office.
Oh, wonderful. Bring those contracts with you.
Yes, please.
Yes, I will. Definitely.
Boy, is that a timely call.
Yeah. And not only that, Mark, you've helped a ton of people.
Yep.
A ton of people, yeah, because you're not the only one who's dealt with this, with the annuity thing.
Yeah, I know. That's why when I told the guy, I did not want to go back into an annuity, because when I transferred it originally, you know, it was a lower amount, you know, so it was a lower tax issue then.
Yeah.
But,
well,
like I said, I didn't read
the left the barn on that one.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's sunk.
That one's already there, so the best thing we can do now is help you.
Save you some money.
Yeah, basically okay. Help save you something.
Awesome.
Well, Mark, appreciate the call. God bless. Thank you. We'll see you
thanks
this week.
Nate.
All right, folks.
Patient,
so it's
patient Joe.
I know. Joe, please be a little patient with us. We'll be right back. We have to take a short information timeout.
And Eric.
Folks, don't forget the lines are open. So bring your financial questions. Call now. 855-765-1045. Again, that's 855-765-1045. You're listening to Smart Money on WOKV 104.5, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Smart Money time is now 11:46. Did you know? What factors do all but one of the shortest bear markets have in common?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it after the break. Jacksonville, you're listening to Smart Money 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We only got a little bit of time left, so call now. That number is 855-765-1045. Again, 855-765-1045. Smart Money time is now 11:51. Did you know all of the shortest bear markets for the S&P 500, except for one, did not occur with a recession? The one exception was the 1990 bear market, the shortest bear market, shortest recession. The others, 1962, 1966, 1987, and the honorable mention, 2018, were all sparked by other short-term concerns.
It sounds familiar. So, all right, I know we got Joseph waiting.
Yep. Joe, you have been an absolute saint. Joseph from Orange Park, retired military.
Good old Orange
Will
Park.
Will we recover, it looks like, is the question.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to you all the time. You're a blessing. Thank you for your God-fearingness. Real short, I'm not a high roller, retired military, and I work full-time. I do fairly well. The company contractor I work for, they sort of made us take a 401k. I think it was a census, Merrill Lynch, maybe now with somebody else. I only had, like, maybe in January I called, like, $9,700 in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And anyhow, then I was thinking, you know, maybe taking it out, getting some debt done. And I called up, and it was like $8,700. And with that experience, I was like, whoa. Then I started talking to other friends of mine, and they had, like, you know, they would have a 60,000. They lost tens of thousands. Even another government worker friend of mine, you know, invested in retirement. They lost probably $20,000-$30,000, and I'm like, whoa. And then I'm asking, and they asked me the question, or another friend said, how long is it going to take to recover? They said, you lost it. Do you ever get it back? I lost it in a month. How long will it take even to get $1,000 back? I mean, the bear market being, you quoted some times of 19 to 22 months, do you ever get it back? How long does it take? And go ahead, gentlemen. Thank you.
No, great question. Great question.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think the easy answer is yes. Time heals all wounds, okay? The biggest thing is why a plan is so important, and even knowing what you're invested in is so important, is because everything is substantial, or should say circumstantial, based off of where you are and what you're trying to use the money for. If you're just, you know, if you're not planning on ever using the money, yeah, you just let it keep cooking and let the steak keep marinating. But if you're living on it, you know, and it starts dropping hundreds, tens of thousands, I mean, it can be completely nerve-wracking, because you're like, well, I'll just sell everything and then wait for cash. And then
that's
now you
the
have taxes and now you have inflation.
That you can possibly do,
so,
too.
I mean, you have a ton of things going on. So the answer is yes. The market heals all wounds. I mean, you got to know what kind of car you're driving to get you from A to B. You know, if you're driving a Porsche, you're going to expect to see a potential ticket, and it may slow you down. If you're taking a Kia and you can't go over 40 miles an hour, it's going to be a slower ride, right? And you probably won't have as many problems. So, that's my thoughts on it. But
well, all of it stems back to, hey, do you know what your financial blueprint is? Do you have a formal written plan for your investments? If not, then you're basically shooting in the dark and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
For those that sit down. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I said, not a high roller. That was all that I have. Mm-hmm. Little money in savings. I work sometimes even just hand to mouth. So that was sort of there, the 9,007. Mm-hmm. Lost 1,000. It's 8,007. And how long will it take to even just get $1,000 back? And no, I didn't have a plan. I haven't seen you guys. I didn't think I really had enough to even work with.
Yeah.
So I'm just $1,000. When does it ever come back? It took a month to lose it. How long does it take to get it back? Is it going to take months and months or a year? I mean, now it's only 7. So if your market kicks back in, it seems like there's less to deal with now. Does it take longer to just get the $1,000 back, or is it going to, can it just take a month or two? As quickly as you lost it, you can get it back. I know it's an over simple question, but that's all I sort of wanted to know.
Well, yeah, no, you'll definitely get it back given the time. The question that you have is, hey, what does that look like? Nobody has the perfect crystal ball, but here's the thing. What history tells us is the steeper the decline happens, the steeper the recovery is. So if this thing takes, took 16 days to get down into bear market territory, well, that means at most the average is double the time to come back, at most. So if it turned around tomorrow and it was the last second of it, then you're looking at double the time to come back.
Yeah.
Now, that's just a rule of thumb. Like I said, what actually happens will be a little different than that. Could it be shorter? Could it be longer? Absolutely.
Yeah, just depends on what you're invested in as well. I mean, you know, again, depending on if you're heavy stocks and you see a quick rebound like we did on Friday, I mean, you feel the full brunt back and forth. I mean, it's the whipsaws that you deal with. The biggest thing is again, just look at it. How is it going to apply to you? And then how do you invested the right way? And yeah, we help all kinds of people, so
yeah, that's why we have that 1 hour free appointment. So even if it's not, you know, if yours is still in 401k, you're still with the company, yeah, we probably can't manage that right now, but if you come in and you're, you know, talking to us, we are gonna, like I said before, at least point you in the right directions.
So, bring in what your investment alternatives with your company are.
Yep.
Then we can guide you from there. Okay.
Gentlemen, I thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. God bless. Great question.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it already that time?
It is.
Whew. Hey, folks, God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. We know this is kind of a scary time for many. Stick with it. You know, like we've been saying all day, the most important thing that you can do is know where you are, know where you're trying to go. Get that formal plan if you don't have one. That is what will change your destiny to the future. So we appreciate you and your calls. If nobody said they cared about you today, know that Corey, Scotty, Hank, and I do. Mystic Minx as well. Hank, I won't forget her. Always remember, the most important investment that you can ever make will never be found on a statement, a balance sheet, or a piece of paper. It's that special time that you spend with friends, family, and loved ones. To our American soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, and your families, our warriors, thank you and God bless for what you do and the sacrifices that you make and are willing to make to keep and protect our American way of life, our free country. To our police officers, firemen, EMTs, your families, thank you and God bless you for providing us safe cities. You have our backs and you keep us covered no matter what the consequences may be. Particularly right now, our EMTs and those folks, they're on the front lines of this coronavirus thing. So keep them in your prayers. Thank you for what you do and the sacrifices you're willing to make. Folks, with all the craziness that's going on out there right now, keep a calm and level head. No reason to panic. Be conscientious of what you do. Wash your hands, use sanitizer. Keep a little bit of distance. If you have coughs, sneezes, stuff like that, be respectful. For those that are older, don't forget, you are part of the population that they say we got to worry about. So take the steps that you need to stay safe. Always stand tall and honor and respect our flag. It's the symbol of all those sacrifices that came before to keep our nation free. And remember, you'll never stand as tall as when you kneel in prayer. Fathers,
teach your children to pray. They're not going to learn it anywhere else. And when we're all facing something like the fears and concerns and panic out there today, now is when you need that prayer the most. God bless, folks. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.